Good morning, saints. I cannot tell you what joy and privilege it is for me to share with you God's word every time that we have the opportunity. For those of you that are visiting us, a big, big welcome. For those of you following us online, a very big welcome to you as well. It is so great to be together today. We are busy as a congregation to journey through the book of Genesis. And this morning we're going to zero in on chapter 26. Abraham has just died, passed away in chapter 25, and he has put the blessings on Isaac. And the whole chapter is about Isaac, except the last two verses, and we will keep those two verses for next week. But what I would like us to focus on today in chapter 26 is on the five wells that Abraham dug. The Philistines filled them with dirt, and Isaac redug them all open again. What can we learn from each one of those wells? They are so important in our journey with Jesus. And it's going to be a little bit not so smooth this morning. What I mean by that, after every well, we are going to pause and just spend a few minutes in prayer, applying the principles of that well in our own lives. What are these wells? If we have to make them personal, first of all, a well is a place of life. It's a source of life. In those days, because of where they were living, the land was very arid. You couldn't exist without water. Nothing changed. Today, you also cannot exist without water. But you needed a well for your family to survive in those conditions. The second way, it was the source of community as well. The moment you had a well, you had community. Many other people will come in and share the well with you. And in the third place, the well resembles the Holy Spirit. There are three examples of the Spirit in the New Testament. The first one is, he's like living waters. Second one, he's like a fire. The third one is like a mighty wind. We do not know where he's coming from. We do not know where he's going. And these wells resemble those in our lives. Let's just pray together and ask the Lord, Father, will you please come and speak to us? Our Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. It is so powerful. It speaks to us in this day, in this hour, exactly where we are at. I pray that you will open our eyes as you did the eyes of Hagar, and she saw you. Help us to personalize it today, please. Speak, Lord. Please, your servants are listening. If you want to take one of the Bibles in the pew in front of you, if you don't have one, or switch it on, we are going to go verse by verse through this chapter. We're not going to touch all the verses because I don't want to get you late for lunch. But let's start with verse number one. Now there was a famine in the land. Genesis 26, it's page 19 in the pew Bibles. Genesis 26, verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. Where did Isaac come from? And why in the world did he go to Gerar? We will find that out in a moment. But let's just establish, where did Isaac come from as he was journeying to Gerar? We find that in the previous chapter, verse 11. It says, after the death of Abraham, God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac settled at Beer Lachai Roy. Beer means well. Lachai Roy means the well of the living one who sees me. I like the other translation more. It says, it is the well of seeing the one who sees me. Can you imagine? That is where you are staying, at the well of the one who sees you. You are seeing him. And where does that name come from? Genesis 21, from Hagar, where she said, "Then God opened the eyes of Hagar, and she saw a well of water." You remember she put Ishmael there and went away the distance of a bow because she didn't want to hear him cry himself to death. And she opened her eyes, or God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. Lachai Roy. God sees you. God loves you. I wish I have words to describe his love for you. Isaac found himself at the well of seeing the one who sees me. God sees you. Not just love you, not just sees you. He created you. You have been born for a time like this. You are no accident. You are here because of the love of God. The statistic shows in the church in the United States, if you have a group of people like this together on a Sunday morning, a large percentage are religious people. They think they know Jesus. They think they are following him. They just go through all the motions. But if you knock at their door, there is no answer. I want us to pause at this well today, just for a little bit, please. This is the well of life. The well of knowing God, seeing the one who sees you, the well of making a decision, Lord, I want to follow you. So many of us have been led in a prayer to receive the Lord Jesus, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we as a church, and I want to apologize to you today, we have not done a good job in, after you've made a decision to follow Jesus, to journey with you on a road of disciple making so that you can become mature in Christ and begin to help others on their journey as well. We have failed you, and I'm very sorry about that. This well of Lachai Roy means I see the one who sees me. I'm on my way to the back there, to the cross, because I want to explain something to you. I'm just going to use my hands. Sorry, I'm so far away from you. Just illustrate what we are talking about. Maybe you are sitting here. Maybe you know God. Maybe you know about God. Maybe you've never met him. You've never arrived at Lachai Roy, knowing that one is seeing you and he loves you. And I want to open the door for you today so that in Revelation he says, when you hear him knock, open the door. He wants to come in. He wants to dine with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. This hand represents God. God loves you with an amazing love. God created you. God has an amazing plan for your life. And this fist resembles me and you. We have sinned and we are separated from God because our God is a holy God. God so desired to be reconciled with us that he sent his Son to die on a cross, so that we can be reconciled with him. And Scripture is asking us to do two things. First question, do you believe that he did that? Do you believe that he died for you? And then the second one, do you believe it? Are you willing to make it your own? One of my friends here in the congregation flies quite a bit. He has such a passion to see God save people. He got on the plane. There were very few people. Very few, only two passengers on the plane. He says, I've never seen anything like that. He said, I sat down in my seat, and I saw there at the back there was another guy. And I couldn't wait for the safety belt sign to go off so that I can make my way to the guy at the back and share Jesus with him. The hostess came, and she said, sir, do you want some coffee? He says, no, thank you. You want breakfast? No, thank you. He said, I was so irritated, just wanting the light to go off. that I completely miss God. And then he said, he became quiet in his heart. And he felt the Lord say to him, it's not about the guy at the back. It's the air hostess I have an appointment with today. He called her back and says, I would like some coffee, please. And I would like some breakfast, please. And so she served him and he had a few words with her. And he felt in his heart, the Lord says, she has a mother that prays for her. So he said to her, you have a mom that prays for you, right? She burst out crying. She said, yes. My mom has been praying all these years for me that my life will change, that I will follow Jesus. He said to her, today is the day. Only two passengers on this plane. And one is connecting with you because the one who sees you wants you to see him. Lachai Roy. And he was able to introduce her to the Lord Jesus. I want to ask you today, if you've never met Jesus, I'm not going to pray here. I'm going to pray with you afterwards. I'll be here. Others will be here as well. Come and talk to us. You don't have to come to us to be prayed for. So many other people in the congregation knows and love Jesus. Just go up to them and say, please pray with me. I want to know Jesus. I want to believe in him. And then begin a journey with that person, please. But I also want to ask a second group of people. This well is for those who are lost. Have you been praying for somebody that doesn't know Jesus? And I want to ask us as a congregation, if there is somebody like that, I would invite you to stand up on their behalf, and we're going to pray with you that God will save them. Would you like to do that, please? Only if you have the freedom. You know someone that doesn't know Jesus. You've been praying for them. And you have such a desire that they will meet Jesus. Some of you have prayed 14 years, 30 years. Some of you prayed for your children, your parents, husbands, wives. Beloved, none of us can save them. That's only one that saves, and his name is Jesus. That's why it's so awesome to go to him today. Lachai Roy, the God who sees, want them to see him as well. Let's pray together. Our Father, at this well of life, we want to commit those that we know that don't know you. For years we've been praying for them. For years their hearts have been like stone. And you are the God that transforms hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. Will you do it for them, please? Will you remove the veil that Paul writes about that is blinding them from your love and your light? God, save them, please. I pray that in this week, somehow you may be able to connect me and that person, Lord, so that we can share your story. Do a miracle, we pray, Lord. I pray that you will remove all the resistance, all the lies and deceptions of the enemy, and that you will set them free, that you will deliver them from evil. That's how you taught us to pray. Forgive them their iniquities, please, God. And help them to do your will, to honor your name, to see your kingdom come. We are so excited about what you're going to do, Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 2, we read, and the Lord appeared to him, that is to Isaac, and said to him, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land in which I shall tell you. What was Isaac doing in Gerar? Isaac was staying in Beer Lachai Roy. He traveled to Gerar. It is halfway into Philistine territory, because Gerar was a main town on the route from the north to Egypt. He was on his way to Egypt. That's why God said to him, do not do it. Don't go down to Egypt. I have a different plan for you. And then he explains the plan. Verse 3. sojourn in this land. And then he tells him the Abrahamic covenant. Listen to what he's saying to him. Five things. He said to him, Isaac, I will be with you. Isaac, I will bless you. Isaac, I will give you all these lands. Isaac, I will establish a covenant that I swore to Abraham. Isaac, I will multiply your offspring. And then verse 5 is for me so key. It says, because Abraham obeyed my voice, had an intimate relationship with me, was so attentive to all my commandments, my statutes. Because our God is a multi-generational God. Next Sunday we will talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are today standing at Isaac, and he talks to Isaac about your father, Abraham. What Abraham obeyed, what Abraham walked like before God, had an impact upon his children. The way Isaac will walk will have an impact on his children, and we will see that impact next week as well. We do not live in a bubble. Our lives touch one another. Five things that he said to him. I will be with you, I'll bless you, I'll give you these lands, I will establish a covenant with you, and I will multiply your offspring because of Abraham. When I was praying this week, and I was going through this passage, there was such a burden on my heart. I know this is not a well, this is an oath from God to Isaac. But my whole attention was drawn to the last part of this oath, this covenant. I will multiply your offspring. Last Sunday, Karen, my wife, was praying here with one of the wives in the congregation. And she said to her, Karen, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, you prayed for me and my husband to have an offspring. We couldn't have any more children. And we so desire to have another child. And she said to her, yesterday I found out I was pregnant again. What joy. I wish you were there. I wish you could take a picture of that joy. So many women are struggling to have children. And I want to be very bold today and ask you, if you know of somebody like that, or maybe you desire to have a child and God has not given you a child, would you not like to stand? I would just like to pray for you today. For this covenant that God made, this promise that he made, I will multiply your offspring. If you feel it's too personal, you don't have to stand up. But at least stand on behalf of others. We all know others that are praying, that so desire to have a child, but they are not at the moment able to have that. That we may see the same miracle that Karen witnessed last Sunday as well. Is there anybody that would like to stand on behalf of others? Thank you for those standing. Maybe it's your children, maybe it's family, maybe it's friends. And if you are bold enough, stand on your own behalf as well. Our Father, we are so humbled by who you are, your presence, your covenant with us. The same God that made the covenant with Abraham made the same covenant with Isaac and Jacob. You repeated it 55 times throughout Scripture. Last week we celebrated it through communion. The same covenant. Lord, we want to ask you something that's impossible for us, and that is to provide life. On the one side, we've just asked you for eternal life for our friends. Today, we also want to come and ask physical life for mothers, parents, that are struggling to have another child or to have a child. Will you please come and meet with them? Will you remove all the obstacles, please, Lord? Will you do a miracle, please, God, that we can celebrate with them in the coming days what you have done? We plead before you, God. Have mercy on us, please. Forgive all our sins. Pour out your grace, your love, your care upon each one that is standing. Thank you that you are seeing the one that sees you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 6, so Isaac didn't go down to Egypt. Verse 6 says, so Isaac settled in Gerar. In Gerar, we do not read of any well that he dug. Why? Because Gerar was a big town. They had plenty of water there. But what happened at Gerar, can you imagine one moment? I know I stopped my sentence midway. I will finish it in a moment. Here he is at Gerar. God just spoke to him in a dream, reconfirming the same covenant that he had with Abraham. And at Gerar, the king's men came to him, Abimelech, and he says, "Ooh, you have a nice wife." "No, it's my sister." Because he was afraid. One moment, God can be so close, so real to us, and the next moment we had to lie to survive. Can you bring the two together? Can I use a not so nice example? My question to you this morning is, what do you fear? What is blocking you from trusting God? What is blocking you from taking his hand to live in that promise, in that covenant he made with you? Here in Florida, you have these big cockroaches, the ones that can fly. Imagine one of them fly and boom, land on your chest. After you freaked out and maybe collapsed and shouted, you will run into a wall to try and kill it. Or do you say, "Hey, welcome. It's so nice to have you in my life. I really enjoy you." With these long two antennas moving back and forth. I know it's gross, but I want to explain to you fear. That's how fear comes into our lives. It just lands on us, this big thing. Grab it, throw it down, and step on it 5 times so that it's dead, 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 dead. Otherwise, it will lay eggs. Otherwise, it will multiply. You cannot entertain the fear that comes and sits in your heart. Let's move on. No, let's stop here. Don't move on. I want you to just bow your heads. And I want you to pray by yourself, please. And I will tell you what to pray. We said we're going to stop at each one. This is not a well. This is fear. This is cockroaches. First of all, I want you to identify a fear that you may have in your life. I want you to see that cockroach land on you. Identify it first and then repent and say, "Lord, you've just said that you are with me. You will bless me. You will give me this land. You will establish a covenant with me. I will multiply your offspring." I cannot tell you how many cockroaches I had to kill this week in preparation for today. Lies the enemy wants me to believe. So first, identify it. Second one, repent. Says, "God, forgive me that I entertain this fear. Allow it to even have eggs multiply in my heart. I remove it today." You've said in your word, God, we do not have a spirit. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, please. Fill me with your love, please, that I will love you and believe your covenant. And give me the self-control that the moment it lands on me, I will get rid of it. Just pray your own prayer, please. I just give you a moment to do that. Identify it, confess it, ask Him to fill you with His love. See yourself tramping on it. If 3 times is not enough, do it 10 times, but just get rid of the fear in your life. Let's move on to verse 17. Here we read about Isaac's second and third well in this one passage. So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Gerar was here on the main route to Egypt, and just a little bit northeast of it, about 5 to 10 miles, there was the valley of Gerar. Abraham had been there because there is a stream, a wadi, that in the summer it's running water, in the winter it is dry. But there Abraham dug 2 wells, and Isaac went back to that place where his dad was because he realized there is trouble living amongst the Philistines. Let's see what happened. Verse 17, so Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father. Isaac did not dig new wells. The Hebrew word that is used here specifically is not the same as digging a new well. They have 2 different words, one for digging a new well and one for emptying an old one that has been filled up. And that's exactly what has happened, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the names that his father had given them. He even gave them the same names that his father had given them. Verse 19. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Essek, because they contended with him. They were just so full of entitlement and selfishness. They were so filled with jealousy because God's hand of blessing was upon Isaac. What did Isaac's people do? Verse 21. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. Sitna comes from the root word Satan. Same word. He is the one that fills up our wells. He is the one that makes us fight each other. Because if you fight each other, you cannot drink water from the same well. Now you understand why we have more than 100,000 denominations in our country. In Holland, they say if you have 2 people, you have a congregation. If you have 3, you have a split. It's sometimes not better in our own midst. We think we have a monopoly on the truth. The moment we find water, God's living water, seeing the one who is seeing us, we think it is ours. No well is your well. All wells, it's God's well. We are not the center of the universe. He is. So sad. I also want to encourage you. What do you do if you do dug a well? If you are living and walking with Jesus and other people are coming in from the outside to contend with you, to struggle, to quarrel, disunity. What do you do? First, you need to turn back to God. And not to the people. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. The enemy wants to destroy our community. He wants to destroy our relationships. First thing is, ask God for forgiveness. I know it's their fault. I know they did the things wrong. I know they are the problem. You are innocent. Nevertheless, go to God and say, Lord, forgive me, please. My attitude is not right towards this person. And then the second request, please. Do not let your life be defined by the Philistines. The Philistines came in. You can so easily have your life defined by those on the outside. Go back to the one seeing you, whom you have seen. Karen and I have precious friends in South Africa. For 30 years we've journeyed together. And one day they just switched off all communication with us. So we were just so bewildered, so numb. How can this happen? So we made an appointment with them and said, can we talk about this? No, they don't want to talk about it. I said, please help us. I wrote him afterwards, please. What have I said? What have I done? What have we said? What have we done? We want to be reconciled, at least for God's kingdom. For the last 10 years, they've switched off the lights. It's so painful. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. I just want to pause here for a moment. Unforgiveness, bitterness, disunity, quarrels, being contending with others is so normal of our Christian lives that we have become comfortable with it. And can I ask, in the light of God's tremendous covenant with us, in the light of living water, the moment you allow this, we are allowing the enemy to fill up our wells. We get muddy in our relationships. We get muddy in the living water. I just want to pray with you. Our Father, many of us are hurting because of relationships that have gone bad, sour, where we are the reason for it. Forgive us, please, God. Forgive us, Lord. We are destroying your community because the well is not just our well. It's our own well. It's us, the community's well. Lord, we choose to clean the well again, to go to those that have offended us and see if you will not do a miracle and restore it for us, please. But will you please bring unity, God? Will you help us to make you the main focus, please, God? We ask it in Jesus' name. Let's go to Isaac's fourth well. Very short verse, verse 22. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called the name Rehoboth, saying, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Karen and I have two boys, and they are both married, precious daughter-in-laws. Our second son's wife was extremely allergic for almost anything that she was eating. Oh, she couldn't have, the list is just as long. And they were courting for 5 years, and then they decided to get married, which is wonderful. And then 3 years into their marriage, she was coming to a Sunday service like this. And she was just sitting there. And then the pastor said these words. He says, in preparation for today, I just felt us to pray for God to make us fruitful again. Exactly what this verse is saying. To bring healing to those that need healing. To bring relationships for those that want to be married, etc., etc. He had a long list. She sat there and she said, Lord, she felt the Lord says, do you believe I can heal you? She said, Lord, it's been such a long time. 8 years already, Lord. Lord, but because you are God, I want to say yes. So the pastor just asks all those of you that want to ask God to do something special for you, spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally, just to stand up. And I'm going to ask you to do that in a moment as well, but just hold on. So a number of people stood up, and she stood up. And the girls sitting around her put their hands on her shoulders, and they prayed for her. She said, I didn't feel anything, nothing. Philip, her husband, was not there. He was on a hike with a group of young men that they were discipling. And she went home. She said, how will I know if God has touched me or not? I need to take a drink of milk from the fridge. She said, normally it will put me out for 3 days. I cannot walk. So she took the milk, have a sip. Nothing happened. Oh, she was delighted. The next day, she took a spoonful of sugar. She couldn't take any sugar. Nothing happened. The next day, she took a slice of bread. Nothing happened. Up to this day, we celebrate God touching her in a supernatural way. I would like us today to pause at this well. The well of as God has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land of us. And I want to give you the opportunity just to stand. If you need prayer, or if you one of your friends or family or somebody you know needs prayer, a breakthrough in any area of life, financially, relationally, physically, sickness, whatever it is. Can I ask you to stand, please? Thank you. That is so precious. There are many saints standing. But I want to ask you, would you mind just turning into small groups, two or three together? And those that are sitting, just put your hand on the shoulder of those that are standing, please. Make sure you don't miss anybody. And just don't make more than two or three in a group, please, because we're going to run out of time. But just pray for each other, please. Will you do that? I'm not going to pray for you. I'll pray at the end. But we are going to trust God to do something so amazing in our lives today. Let's just pray for each other, please. When you finish praying, you may sit down again, please. Our Father, we are such needy people, needy of your love, needy of this well of room for us, so that we can be fruitful. And I pray for a miracle today in each one's life that stood before you. Pray that you will empty all the lies of the past and that they will remember your covenant. Lord, I pray that we may hear your story through their lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to verse 23, the fifth well that we will pause at. That's the last well. Verse 23 says, from there he went to Beersheba. From Rehoboth he went to Beersheba. Listen what happened to Beersheba. Exactly the same thing happened that what happened when he went to Gerar. And the Lord appeared to Isaac the same night and said to him, and he repeats again the same covenant that he had with Abraham. He says, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father. He always, when God introduces himself, he always introduces himself relationally. I am your father. You are my son, whom I love. Always starts with a relational connotation. Fear not. I am with you. I will bless you. I will multiply your offspring. Isn't that amazing? The same covenant he repeats to Isaac. So what was Isaac's response to that, verse 25? Isaac built an altar there to sacrifice to the Lord. He called upon the name of the Lord. We spent time this morning to worship. To call upon the name of the Lord was to worship, to say to him, God, there is just nobody else like you. He pitched his tent there. And then Isaac's servants dug a well. And then Abimelech heard about Isaac and he came across. And verse 28, we see plainly that the Lord has been with you. Isn't it interesting? The Philistine king came across and says, hey, your God is with you. And verse 29, you are now blessed of the Lord. A godless king to acknowledge that. Excuse me. Verse 32, that same day Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug and said to him, we have found water. He called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of that city is Ber, well, of Sheba, Beersheba, to this day. What does Beersheba mean? It has two meanings. The first meaning, seven, because it was at the same Beersheba. Again, they just opened Abraham's well. It's the same well that Abraham dug when he made an agreement with Abimelech, and he gave him seven lambs as an exchange for the oath between them. It's also the same name, oath, well of covenant. What is the spiritual significance of Beersheba in our lives today? First of all, it reminds us of God's covenant with us. God came to Isaac twice, and he said to him, Isaac, I am the God of Abraham. Don't be afraid, Isaac. I'm with you, Isaac. I will bless you, Isaac. I will multiply your offsprings. The second thing is, the well at Beersheba means living water. Seeing the one who sees us. The well at Beersheba means true worship. That's where Isaac worshiped God. Beersheba means peace after all these wells of conflict. Beersheba was the place of new beginnings for Israel. 33 times it is mentioned in the scriptures. From Dan to Beersheba, that was the southernmost border of Israel. And that is where God says, this is a time of new beginnings for you, Isaac. May I ask you, what is the condition of your well this morning? There are four possibilities. The first one comes from 2 Peter 2:17. It says, these are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. You can be a waterless well. You have the image of godliness, but there's nobody home. You are like a whitewashed tomb. What does the water look like in your well? Do you live a powerless life? No power over sin, over temptation, a lack of prayer, lack of repentance, a lack of love. Karen and I were journeying with a couple in the congregation about a year ago. They wanted to get married, so we had the premarital counseling sessions. Great couple. We love them dearly. And just before the last session we had with them, we had to travel. So we came back and had our last session. And when we sat down, they said this to us. They said, "We have decided to move in with each other." Whoa. You could brush me over with a feather. I couldn't believe it. I didn't say anything. I just kept cool and calm as I could be. And I said, "Just tell me some more about this decision." "Yeah, it's much more convenient. We save a lot of smackerinis and a lot of time and. And we went on with our session, talked through the different issues. And then at the end of the session, I said to them, "Will you please forgive me, but I will not be able to conduct your wedding. I serve a holy God. And I cannot identify with people that makes a decision of convenience above obedience." They were very, very disappointed. I said, "Sure, there will be somebody else that will be willing to do that, but I do not see my way open. Forgive me." They left. Next day they called me, said, "We have moved out. We have been disobedient to God." Said, "Since we've moved in with each other, we have been so much quarreling in our relationship." Isn't it interesting that when you violate God's principles, the relationship goes bad at the same time as well? They said, "Would you reconsider, please? Would you marry us?" And I said, "Certainly, it will be such a privilege. I love you. I believe in you. God's hand is so clearly upon your lives." Are you a waterless spring? The second one, kind of well that you may have, is the water is mine. It's our water. Selfish well. You put your hands around it. You are not sharing it. You are not journeying with others, with God's life. The third kind of well that we may have here today is stopped wells. Satan has come and he has poured out a lot of lies, deceptions. He's a liar. He's a destroyer. He's a killer. He wants to suffocate your spiritual life. You want to take revenge, lukewarmness, self-centeredness. The list is long, but you know what I mean. Stopped up wells. And then the last one is, do you have a well of living water? Seeing the one who sees you, Lachai Roy. Isaac opened all Abraham's wells. He didn't dig any new wells. Beloved, we don't need new plans, new schemes, new programs. We need to return to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. The basics is what is so critical in our relationship with him. Can I close with this story? Excuse me. The year was 1857. The city was New York City. The country was in a mess. Rebellion, slavery, crime, huge. And there was a businessman in the city, Jeremiah Lanphier. For weeks he has been distributing pamphlets, inviting people to come to a prayer meeting. Imagine a prayer meeting in New York City. On the 23rd of September of that year, six people came to the prayer meeting. He and five others. Wednesday afternoon, lunchtime. 2 weeks later, the stock market crashed. Thousands of families in the country was left with nothing. Over the weeks, the prayer meeting grew. In December, there were 10,000 people coming together over lunchtime. Not on a Wednesday, every day of the week to pray, to cry out to God. The New York newspapers got hold of the story. They spread it throughout the land, Cleveland, St. Louis. In Cleveland, for example, they were praying. So many people came for prayer, they had to empty the building 3 times a day. Theaters, churches, full house. People just pray. The revival spread to England. Whole towns came to know the Lord. Some towns had to disband their police force because there was no crime. 20,000 people the pastors had to baptize in the United States every week because of what God was doing. Because they opened the wells. Because they saw the one who sees them. Do you believe God can do it again in our day? Do you believe God wants to do it again in our day? If you do, would you mind standing with me? I just want to pray with all of you. God, come and visit us again. Lord, help us to open the wells of joy, the wells of intimacy with you, the wells of repentance, the wells of revival, the wells of the Holy Spirit of God blowing in and through our midst. Our Father, your word is so powerful. Thank you that we could pause today at each one of these wells. Thank you for your love for us, God. Thank you that you want to do a new thing in our day. And we are standing today because we want to be available. We want to be here for you, God. We have seen the one who sees us. Help us to clear our wells. Help us to invite others to join us as we trust you. Lord, Beersheba was the day of new beginnings. I pray that this day will be a day of new beginnings in our lives. As you heal, as you restore, as you renew, come and visit us, I pray, please, God. We ask it in the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen.